Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, February 23rd. This happens to be the anniversary, wedding anniversary, Brother Shelby, Miss Louise Wilson. And I hope that Brother Shelby and Miss Louise have a tremendous anniversary, a great day today, on their wedding anniversary. But we're just continuing on what we started this week, preaching, taking our text from John chapter number 7 and dealing with that phrase, never man spake as this man. Trying to exalt the Lord Jesus and hope that it is a blessing to you and brings glory and honor to our Lord and Savior as well. And as I'm making these broadcasts week by week now and taking one sermon and breaking it down into a five-day broadcast, one of the things that I'm doing, some of you have noticed, is that I may be repeating quite a bit of it, especially towards the end of the week. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to hit the major points, and so we're reminding you of that, rehearsing that. And then each day, there'll be a part of that that might be replayed, but each day there's an additional part that's played as well. And you'll be able to see the next point, maybe the next couple of points, as it moves along. I hope these are a blessing to you. Well, we're going to go ahead and move right along into prayer time. It is time to call on the Lord in prayer. So would you pray with us at this time? Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for saving us by your grace. We want to thank you and praise you for the opportunity to be able to make this broadcast for WSOF and WAJJ Radio. And Father, I pray you'll put your hand of anointing upon it. Father, I do pray that you'd use the words that some sinner might come to Christ, that the saints might be encouraged and glorify our Lord and Savior, for surely there is nobody like Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'd get the glory through it all. Lord, I do pray you'd be with Willie McLaren and the surgery that he had this morning, that you'd work there and help other family members and people that we know about, a young man by the name of Luke Dons. Lord, I pray that you'd touch him in the hospital in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania and very dire straits. Lord, I pray touch him and meet the needs. And dear God, bless the broadcast, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to go right to a song by our family before we look in the scriptures here in John chapter number 7. Here's a song by our family. It trusts be a blessing to your heart. All right, I hope that song was a blessing to you. And if you will, be turning in your Bible to the book of St. John chapter number 7. We dealt with St. John chapter number 5 last week, a message from a portion of scripture there in St. John chapter 5. Today, we're bringing a message from a portion of the book of St. John chapter 7. Today and this week, we'll be preaching a sermon, entitled, Never Man Spake as This Man. So, if you will, find your place there in John chapter 7. And when you found your place, we're going to be going into the live broadcast as it was recorded at the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky.
The Gospel of John chapter number 7, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. And I want to try to preach on that phrase, never man spake like this man. Well, I want to take my text from that last verse that we read, especially the phrase, never man spake like this man. And I want to look at some of the words. I deal with that. The words that our Lord Jesus said. And I want to contemplate about those things and produce a statement, draw some conclusions from this fact that never man spake like this man. And I want to examine them. I want to show forth the beauty of our Lord's words, the excellence of His words. I want to do that for your own wonder and mine as well. When I study in this, it blessed my heart, caused me to want to praise Him for the power of His words. If you look at the words of Jesus, you would discover at once a narration that is unequaled in all the world. The story of the prodigal son. Not only did Jesus give us this unparalleled account, the prodigal son, but His words, His gracious words, told us other great stories as well. He told us about the lost sheep just prior to that story of the prodigal son, and how that the shepherd would leave the 99 and go after that one lost sheep. Amen. He told us not only about the lost sheep, but He told us about the good shepherd. He told us about the parable of the sower. He told us about the wheat and the tares. He told us about the publican and the Pharisee going to pray. He told us about the great supper made for the poor and the blind and the lame. He told us about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. Our Lord told us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I say to you that Shakespeare could not hold a candle. But our Lord, in saying these things, He said there's a God in heaven that's keeping a record, and He even keeps a record of a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple. Amen. And so what He's saying is, He's saying God's looking on things more important than what men look upon. And so our Lord's words take these morals that man has and exalts them to a higher plane. He even talks about the piety and the show of religion. How that these men would pray on the street corners. How that these men would boast about their almsgiving and all that kind of stuff. Our Lord took that out of public view and said, pray in your secret place and give in secret. And God that sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen. He exalted it to a higher plane and said, don't live for men, but live for God. Don't be paying attention to what men see and think, but pay attention to God and live for Him and His glory. Amen. Let me say number three, think about His words of genuine sympathy and encouragement. Our Lord's words of genuine sympathy and encouragement. But this man Jesus, though His words were weighty, though His words were stern. For example, in Matthew chapter 23, our Lord gives 8 woes. One woe after another, after another, after another, until He has amassed 8 woes in Matthew 23. But before He ends this chapter, look at verse number 37. The words of our Lord, not only pronouncing woes, but the words of our Lord as we see Him weeping. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Although our Lord spoke words of woe, our Lord spoke words of judgment, yet you see his heart. His heart's not only manifest in the tears in his eyes, but his heart is manifest in the words that he said, and he makes that cry, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, amen. And we see here that although the religionists rejected him, although the nation of Israel as a whole, as a government, as a nation rejected him, yet the common people marveled at his gracious words, and they heard him gladly. You'll find through the Gospels, sinners weeping at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You find a devil-possessed man sitting, clothing in his right mind, praise God, at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You'll find the brokenhearted that are comforted, their wounds bound up by the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did ever man speak like this man? We'll say never. Amen. I've listed some of his gracious words. Listen to these words. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Nobody else could say it, and it mean anything. I know the Catholic priests can say it, but it don't mean anything. Amen. Some preachers might say, well, you repeated that prayer, so you're saying that don't mean anything. Only the Lord Jesus really can say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Only Jesus could speak those words. Here's three more words that he said that's powerful. In Mark 5:34, Luke 7:50, and Luke 8:48, our Lord said, go in peace. Amen. In Mark 5:34, and he said unto her, this is that woman that came from behind, touched his garment, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Luke 7:50, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Luke 8:48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. And then, how about this phrase found in John chapter number 8 and verse number 11, that last phrase, they brought the woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they're ready to stone her. And Jesus said, chapter 8, verse 11, and Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Amen. Go and sin no more. Although he offers forgiveness, he does not give a license to continue in sin. Amen. Although he's loving and kind on one hand, he's still yet stern and true and righteous on the other. Amen. But I want to thank God for the day when I came to Jesus and I heard him say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. I want to thank God for the day I came to Jesus and left. I came restless and I came at war and I came in conflict. But I left at peace, hallelujah. I want to thank God for that day when I heard the Lord say, neither do I condemn thee, amen. Go and sin no more. Never, never, never man spake like this man. Amen. Woo, amen. Amen. I'm glad I not only heard it through the pages of Scripture, amen, but I heard it by the ear of faith, if I could say it that way. Amen. Amen. Let me say number four, never man spake like this man when we think about his claims of deity and salvation. When Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee, they murmured and he said, who can forgive sins but God only? They had that right. Amen. Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus said this. He said in order to prove that he had the power to forgive sins, he said to that crowd, he said, which is easier to say, take up thy bed and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee? So to prove that he had the power to do both, he said to that man, take up thy bed and go thy way. Amen. I'm glad Jesus not only saves us and deals with us in our heart, but there is an outward show that can reveal to the whole world that we have been made a new creature and we've been healed and saved and cleansed of our sins. Amen. Only God can do that. Only God. Nobody else's plan, nobody else's prayer, nobody else's words can do what our Lord's words can do. Amen. Jesus preached Himself as God. He preached Himself as salvation. Salvation is not in a plan. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is in a person. Amen. You have to have Jesus in order to be saved. Amen. Jesus came to bring salvation, and He said that He was the salvation that He came to bring. Amen. Amen. Woo, amen. I think about that. It makes me rejoice. Amen. Think about all the times our Lord used that phrase, I am, which is equivalent to saying that He is God. He takes the assumption of deity as God. It identifies Him as the Jehovah that Moses saw in the burning bush when that bush spake. And God spoke from that bush. And Moses said, "Who am I going to say that has sent me unto them?" And He said, "I am that I am." Amen. He's the self-existing one. He's the only one that can bring salvation and deliverance. Amen. So when Jesus said, "I am," He was in actuality making Himself equal with God. Matter of fact, the Pharisees picked up on that in John chapter 5 and verse number 18. They said He's making Himself equal with God. And He was. And by the way, when they accused the Lord of that, He didn't refute that accusation, because that's exactly what He would do. Amen. Turn to John 5, if you will. I'll just show you that. Verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. And jump down to verse number 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." Oh my, what's He saying there? He said, if you think you're going to honor God, you're going to have to honor the Son. Amen. And if you don't honor the Son, you're not really honoring the Father. And so He is saying that I am equal with the Father. Amen. He's showing them that He is not only the Son of God, He's a part of the Godhead. He is God. Amen. Matter of fact, the Jews knew and loved the 23rd Psalm probably as much or more than Christians do. We read it, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those words, "the Lord's," all capital, L-O-R-D, all capital, which means it's Jehovah. When the Jews read it, they read it, "Jehovah is my shepherd." So when our Lord stepped out in John chapter 10 and stood in the midst of all those Jews and said, "I am the good shepherd," they knew what He was saying. He was saying, "I am Jehovah that you've been looking for." Amen. "I am the God that you're going to bow to." That's what He was saying. And no man could say that but Him. Amen. And it be anything that has a touch of reality in it. Amen. He's telling them that He is the good shepherd. And therefore He claims to be God, Jehovah, God Himself. Turn back to John chapter 8. Let me find there. John chapter 8, verse 24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." You notice that little, the word "He" is in italics. It means it wasn't in the original. He said, if you don't believe that I am, and of course they put that in there to help us understand, He's talking about I am the promised one of God. I am the Messiah. I am He that the Scriptures talk about. But He's saying here, "I am equal with God." Look at verse number 28, John chapter 8. "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am," and then italicized "He" again, "that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father, my Father taught me, I speak these things." He's saying to them, you have to believe me that I am God, and when I'm lifted up, you're going to see. It's going to be proven that I am God. Now jump down to verse number 58, this same chapter. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was," He didn't put no italicized "he" here. He just said, "I am." Amen. "Before Abraham was," not "I was." "Before Abraham was, I am." He's God from beginning to the end. Amen. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen.
Well, we're going to have to break in again there as time has slipped away from us. on this Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. But I'm glad never man spake like this man. Nobody could claim to be God and have those claims officiated as our Lord did. He had the proof that he was what he said that he was, or I should say he is what he said that he is. Amen and amen. Well, I hope you'll tune in tomorrow for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. And until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day.